not adjust your cameras, your television screens, your phones. It is me. It's Petey Carroll. It's Wednesday. You're going, Petey, what are you doing? You're usually banished to the back room and then brought up on a screen sometime during the show, perhaps on a Wednesday. You don't get to talk to us on Wednesdays. Not directly. Not like this. But guess what? It's spring break and there are no alternatives. You have got to stick with me today. It is the crack. Crackheads, I hope you're here. I know you're usually Friday kind of people, but we're here today and we have a lot to talk about. All the rest of them off gallivanting. All of the rest of them. Oh, Rick's off here. Ariel's off over there. Frank is over there somewhere. You know, we have Andy here, thank God, because Lord knows, I don't know how to do all of this stuff. I don't know how to make a live happen, but here we are. I'm live right now, speaking to all you beautiful people. And my Lord, do we have a lot to speak about. We've been speaking a lot, I'm not going to lie to you, just in the old waiting room here before we went in. Probably not going to hit those raunchy topics till the back end. But we've got a lot to talk about, as I said. Bring in Ben and Chuck and get them around me. I need my homies around me here. Oh, yeah. I've been away, boys. I've been away. I had a bit of a holiday for 2 days. Might have, you know, just had one toe in the MMA world. Might have just had one toe. So if I'm completely wrong, as I often am, about things I'm going to say here, you need to check me. Be like, Petey, that's very last week. You got to stop doing this. You're completely out of the game. And frankly, the audience hates you. Is that okay with you, Chuck?
Par for the course, Petey. I feel like this is just kind of every week, you know? So, yeah, we'll do our best.
Thank you. You're a gentleman. Ben, would you also promise to do that if I'm, you know, coming across a bit out of date here?
Where I draw the line is saying that the audience hates you. Because this audience is used to you being wrong. They're used to you having wild opinions that cannot be possibly justified. And they love you for it.
Yeah.
They absolutely love it.
Thank you. That means a lot. And I need to hear that today. You know,
they're used to breaking news and you kind of dragging us back onto the script, whatever it is, you know, that's going on. Like, hey, guys, let's follow what we're going to talk about here. You know,
in case you don't know, everyone, you know, if these Wednesday viewers might not listen to the Crack on Fridays for some reason, even though it's the fillet of MMA podcasting. That's a little line I came up with today. I enjoyed that.
What is it?
You'd call it a fillet, I believe.
Oh, okay.
We call it a fillet here.
A fillet
steak. You call it a fillet mignon.
You're saying the crack is the prime cut. Is that what you're...
It's the prime cut of MMA podcasting. Okay. That's what I'm saying. So, like, it's not easy, you know? Like, you know, of course, Ariel has to book all these guests. He has to, you know, constantly text people, find out news to give it to you. What I have to do is make a little list. That's all it is.
No, it's fine.
A little list. And, you know, sometimes the boys don't stick with the list. And that's an issue that we faced. But I think today that we're in this big slot, this primetime Wednesday slot, I think they're going to stick with me.
And the list is trimmed down this week. I noticed, I was just like, is Petey still in vacation mode? He's coming off a bit of the drink. And he's, because the list is usually a lot longer, more extensive. This time the list is kind of bare bones.
You know, well, you know, you're not wrong there. Okay. You're not completely wrong. One half of my body is sweating, which we discovered in the waiting room too. Massive sweat pit here.
Oh yeah! Wow! Yeah! Wow!
Yeah!
It's all right.
On this side, so only half of my body is responding badly to the last 2 days. But listen, that is not why everyone's here. We need to talk about Israel Adesanya. What is going to happen with him? What about Armin going on Ariel's show and being like, "Oh, I hope they don't match Max with Connor because Max is going to get the shit knocked out of him." I'm like, this is not a direct quote. Not a direct quote. That is just the general nature of what he was saying. Then we have PFL rebranding, potentially to Bellator. And I can't wait to get the boys' takes on that as well. That's quite a situation they've got going on over there. We've got there's fights this weekend. Chris Duncan, the Pride of Scotland, would have been a shepherd on the side of a mountain with sheep.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah, crazy. Had he not been an MMA fighter?
That sounds delightful, honestly.
I mean,
is that job still available? Can I apply?
I mean, he's headlining the Meta Apex, okay, Ben? So why the hell would he do that, okay? He's made it.
I mean, if you ask me, Meta Apex or Shepherd, it's... I don't know, man. You're living an untroubled, peaceful life out there with the sheep.
Yeah, and he does have a good face of a shepherd. Listen, we don't need to get into this, okay? We need to speak about Adesanya first. A lot of people weighing in. I saw Demetrius Johnson on with Ariel. And he's given, like, this is like one of the greatest fighters of all time. Some people think the greatest fighter of all time. He's kind of saying, look, we've earned our money. You know, we are legends of the game, which is true in Adesanya's case. a true innovator of the striking game. You know, him and Eugene Behrman, what they did, often overlooked, a brilliant, brilliant champion. He is now on a four-fight skid, and a lot of conversation about, you know, why would you keep doing this? What do you have to prove at this stage? You know, Ben, I know you've got an article coming up on retirements and why fighters might look at that exit door and why they might not. What's your feeling on the Adesanya situation?
You know, I think that we are sometimes too reliant on just the results to tell us when we think a guy ought to retire. Just looking at the wins and the losses. And I don't think that tells you everything you need to know. Because you look at Israel Adesanya's streak, right, where he's lost four straight. But that includes two former champions, one top contender, and then now Joe Pyfer, who seems to be a guy coming up in the division. There's not one of those fights where you look at it and you go, hey, if you lose to that guy, you need to quit. None of those guys are like that. All those guys are dudes where you could be like, yeah, these guys could conceivably beat just about any middleweight on any given night. And that, I think, is something to keep in mind. Like, we look at it in the totality where we go, he fought all these guys, he lost all these guys. He didn't look completely outclassed or anything. You know, in this Joe Pyfer fight, he had moments. He also looked at times like he was fighting a style that did not favor him, that he was standing there in front of Joe Pyfer a little bit more than he needed to. And that kind of stuff where you go, is he doing that because he's trying to kind of recapture some magic and some confidence? Is he doing that because he feels like that's all that's available to him at this point? Because some of the other skills that he's relied on, some of the stuff he got away with earlier in his career, physically, he's just not able to pull that off anymore. I don't know. But when you ask yourself, like, what should go into that decision of retiring, I think Demetrius Johnson was onto something in that you have to have a good answer for why do I want to continue? Be honest with yourself about that. Because if it's, I want to get back to the top and be a UFC champion again, brother, that's probably not going to happen for Israel Adesanya at this point in his career. Let's just be honest about that. If it's because, hey, I still love it, I still think I got a couple good ones in me, then hey, maybe. But then let's think about what kind of fights we want to take. A fight against Joe Pyfer in Seattle on a fight night thing is not the kind of fight you want to take if you're at Israel Adesanya's point as a former champion thinking, I want to go out there and have a few more great brawls, have a few more great nights. I want to add to that legacy. Fight a peer. Fight somebody else who's in that same kind of run. Don't fight a young, hungry guy and see if you can get a fight on a home territory. Look at what Michael Chiesa did. Get one of those kind of fights where you can have that feel-good moment and you can maybe have a little better feeling going out the door. But be honest with yourself about what it is you want. Because I think you're right. If it's not the money, if it's not a championship, then what is it? Is it also just, I don't know what comes next and I'm delaying finding out? You just need to be honest with yourself about what it is.
Yeah, you know what's funny about him is you mentioned just the record not being able to tell you everything you need to know. You know, he's a dude who's very level-headed. Like, I feel like he sees the game a little differently than some of these fighters that end up in this position where they're kind of skidding out of control toward the end and they're like, I want to get it back. They delude themselves into thinking they can. I feel like he understands a lot of what you're saying, Ben. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I feel like he has a grasp on his situation. So I don't think he's delusional. I think he just wants to keep fighting. And then that also introduces then the next line of questioning, which is who do you fight? Like, when he's talking about Joe Pyfer, he's like, you know what, man, somebody had to give me a shot and I had to get through that guy. And now I'm doing that for Joe Pyfer. He understands his situation. So it'd be interesting. Like, remember, he fought Anderson Silva when Silva was kind of in this position and he was able to kind of go through that. Is he going to be that guy? Is he going to be the benchmark for these, you know, which they hate the term gatekeeper, but like in some ways that's what it is, right? Like, you're going to be the benchmark for these guys coming up. Like, if you can get through him, you belong at a certain echelon. If you don't, you're not there yet. Like, I don't know what he like in terms of that yet, but I will say that he just strikes me as a very level-headed guy, even throughout this fight. Like, he, you know, he's handling the losses like as well as you possibly can. I actually wrote a column about this very thing about nobody like kind of treats the cruel realities of the fight game quite like Israel Adesanya. We don't see a lot of guys who handle it like that. So I feel like he's coming at it from a different perspective, now it's just a matter of the matchmaking. If he's going to continue, it is a matter of that matchmaking. And honestly, man, like, if he doesn't take one of those fights like Ben was talking about, like, where you're just kind of not necessarily getting right to make a run at the title, but just to kind of, you know, get a favorable matchup because he's been fighting these really good fighters, I would really be wondering what's going on with him.
You know, one of the things that came up when I was talking to a bunch of fighters, like, you know, coaches, ex-fighters, people who've gone through the decision to retire, all that kind of stuff, a lot of them point out specifically with Israel, they were like, I don't think he needs to retire. What I saw in that fight against Joe Piper doesn't tell me that guy needs to get out. It wasn't like he was just starched, you know, the way he was kind of by Nassourdine Mimavov. It wasn't like he was completely outclassed and took a bad beating. He was in that fight. He had moments in that fight. He got stuck in a position he couldn't get out of, and he got stopped there. But it didn't seem like he took a ton of damage in that. And they were saying, like, you need to look at how these losses are happening. Several people, without, you know, coordinating with each other, without me bringing it up, pointed to the example of Frankie Edgar. And, you know, they did so with respect, being like, you know, Frankie Edgar was great, had some great moments. But when you saw the way his career ended and the kind of beatings he was taking toward the end of his career, you went, that's the sign that you need to stop,
right?
Not necessarily just because you're losing those fights. It's not the result. It's how you're getting there. And that is going to pile up. That's going to catch up to you. The other thing, though, that came out was I talked to Javier Mendez, you know, the coach at AKA, about it. You know, he has a different perspective on it, trying to tell fighters at times when he thinks they need to retire. He said it's never once worked. Never once has he been able to, as a coach, to tell a guy, even a guy he has a years long relationship with, a guy who trusts him and trusts his opinion. He said never once has he been able to tell a fighter, I think you're done. I think you don't have it anymore. And I think you should quit. And then go, okay, yeah, I hear you. And I will quit. Never. So we could say what we want about whether you think he should stop or not, but you're never going to talk a fighter into it.
To both your points, like, Adesanya is a curious case because obviously it's not a Frankie Edgar situation. Do you remember how he fought against DDP? Like, he was, like, we were kind of going, shit, he's back. Adesanya is back. And then obviously went wrong in the fourth round. Poifer, moments like that, the first round, he looks really good. He's fainting. He's doing everything. Joe Poifer clips him a few times with those heavy hooks that we've seen blast people into the shadow realm. And he was fine. Like, he's looking straight at him. And you're just kind of like, if you're Adesanya and you know how amazing you were at the height of your power, and then you have moments like that where you look like that guy again, it must be very, very difficult. But on the other hand, has there ever been a guy who has more options to him available outside of the fight game? Like, this guy is so charismatic. He everybody wants to watch him, whether it's people hating on him or people supporting him. He is a really, really... he's an exciting guy. Like, he has always been someone who speaks a bit different, who acts differently. That's kind of where I'm at with it. I'm like, you're saying, I've seen this so many times where the thing that keeps fighters fighting is the crisis of identity that they have outside of fighting. Mm-hmm. What the hell am I if I am not this? But for when I'm looking at Adesanya, I'm like, you can be anything still. You can be absolutely anything you want to be. So that's kind of where I am with it. Like, I want him to walk away when it's not a Frankie Edgar situation. Does that make sense?
Yeah. You know, and this is something I talked to Michael Chiesa about this just because he, on the same card, had this great retirement moment. And, you know, he's a smart guy, always a thoughtful guy and interesting to talk to. And he was saying that one of the things that has helped him was having his commentary gig with the UFC, in part because he knows, I'm not retiring and then stepping out into nothing. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to be doing on-air analyst stuff. I'm still going to be in the world. I'm not just saying, like, all right, the fighting portion of your life is done. Do something completely different that doesn't have this thing in it that has been the bulk of your adult life. And also, though, being able to look at it from the perspective of an analyst, where you've gotten used to thinking that way. You've gotten used to stepping back and seeing the sport in total, the way we see it, the way fans see it, and going like, okay, I can do the same math that other people are doing. But he also said, like, hey, the difference for me is the last few fights, especially, I've gotten to fight outside the rankings, essentially. I didn't have to do that. I was fighting guys where it's like, you know, it's not easy fights, but it's also not the very top of any division. And so the stakes are a little bit lower. Where Israel Adesanya, there's not going to be any easy nights for Israel Adesanya because he's Israel Adesanya every time he shows up. Somebody is out there gunning for Israel Adesanya. Somebody wants to put that name on their record. And that's going to be the case for as long as he sticks around. The same way it was the case for Anderson Silva when Israel was on the other side of it. It was like, I want to go out there. And the UFC is thinking of it that way because they're like, we're paying Israel Adesanya money to fight. And so we want to get our money's worth out of it one way or another. And you got to realize that's going to be the way everybody thinks of it. That's going to be the way everybody approaches it. And as Rashad Evans said in my story where he was saying like, hey, once you've been to the mountaintop, once you've been a champion, you've had those magical nights, you are competing against that in a way every single time. It's not just you versus Joe Pyfer. It's you versus the memory of the time you walked out in Melbourne doing backflips and then you knocked out Robert Whittaker. People are comparing it to that. You're always up against that on some level. And that's not going to change. And so you got to think about like what is realistically possible for you in the context of all of that.
Yeah. And it's like for like Demetrius mentioned this too, like for Joe Pyfer, he was talking about, you know, when you're coming up or you're a guy who hasn't quite made it yet, you're not making the big money yet, you want to save every penny you can. And now you've got this huge opportunity to become, you know, Israel Adesanya, especially in the case we just saw, becomes like the Super Bowl, right? You're like, okay, I got to beat this guy. That level of hunger of guys who want to beat you because you held such a high bar and you're compared with the greats in the sport, that's tough. Right? Because these guys want to beat you more than anybody they've wanted to want to fight. They're going to train harder. They've got you circled. And to meet that kind of intensity, and what is Israel? Something like 36 years old. He's been like 100, over 100 total combat, you know, across combat sports, you know, fights all over the place. That's going to be tough for him to show up for. So these things are all factors, and I mean they're unique to guys who have set that kind of bar. They're unique to guys like Anderson Silva or Chuck Liddell's, the guys who've, you know, have really, really understood the top of the fight game, aware, you know, in their era what that's like. To his to the one thing I say, even though he doesn't get out, like the thing that strikes me the most is he gets hit more. You know, yeah. He used to be in a spot, and then he was not in that spot when the guy went after him. And I just feel like right now, Joe Pipe, there was one. Instance in that second round where Pyfer completely telegraphed a right hand and just boom, he lands it. And I'm like, that I just don't think that shot lands in a previous iteration of Izzy, right? Like back in the day, it's stuff like that that you're like, I'm not sure what that means for him in terms of can he get that back? I don't think you can. We've never seen an example of a guy who suddenly has fast twitch move, like he can get out of the way again. He becomes more evasive down the line. So it's living up to your own bar, man. And his bar of excellence was so high that it's like, that's the problem. Like when Ben says you're competing with yourself, you're competing with your past self, that's where the problems start.
Both of you guys, when you're speaking about this, you say, don't take these kind of fights, take kind of fights that make more sense. Can you think of one, honestly, either you guys, off the top of your head, a fight that makes sense right now for Adesanya?
No.
That's tough, right?
Yeah, it is tough. I saw somebody, like, I think it was New York Rick, was saying MVP.
Not bad.
But yeah. He's coming off of such a, I mean, yeah. It's just like,
and is there anybody out there who the quality of their fights is more dependent on style than MVP?
Right.
You put him into the wrong style matchup and you get nothing. You get absolutely nothing. You put him in a right style matchup, you get something great. But if you mess around and you get it wrong, He won't fight and he won't let you fight. Yeah.
Flashbacks of Mohegan Sun against Paul Daly when MVP fought. Remember that fight? Oh my God. Oh, that was brutal.
He's had a few of them, right? Like it's tough.
What about like Yusri Balgari, the dude who's like, he fought him in Glory Kickboxing. I brought this one up before. They have a history in Glory. It's one of Pereira's guys. So it's almost like this vicarious, you know, part of that camp. I think that's a bad matchup for Izzy at this point. The fight, if you watch their kickboxing fights back in the day, they were pretty close even then. So I feel like that's even a bad matchup for him, but at least you have somewhat of a backstory. And like Ben said, you're trying to get your money's worth of the guy coming up.
If only Robbie Lawler were a little bit younger, you know, you could have a lot of fun there.
That is a fight.
Brush Johnny Hendricks off. Let's see what he's doing.
What is Johnny Hendricks doing?
I think he's a police officer now. He's got to work, man. I believe so, right? I believe he became a police officer.
What was the thing he used to trail off with all the time? He was like, you know what I'm saying? Well, no, it wasn't, you know what I'm saying. He was, You know what I mean? He was like,
I think it was, you know what I mean? Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It was like, he used it like a period.
You'd have to like, if you're transcribing it, you're like, all right, I got to start cutting all these out. There's just no way all these can stand.
Speaking of someone with a lot of activity on his plate right now, Armin Sarukian, I see today matched for another RAF event against Uriah Faber. I mean, the guy's activity in the old wrestling mat is unbelievable.
He's the face of RAF, man. Let's...
Yeah, he is. They can't hold an event without this guy.
I'm watching
wild.
Like, I tried to watch it. The stream cut. Like, while I was trying to watch it on YouTube, RAF made it available internationally. I know it's on Fox Nation over there, right? Made it available, the show on YouTube for international people. He starts his match and it's just over. It just gets cut out. But I was willing. What I'm trying to say to you, I was interested to watch this wrestling match. And I really, and I know we spoke about this on Friday, Chuck, I really didn't expect to be. But suddenly, this guy is becoming must-see TV, not even in MMA. I'm watching him on goddamn wrestling mat now. I'm surprised by that, you know?
It's kind of fun to like, this hasn't worked in the past. Like, remember Metamoris, like they do the jiu-jitsu things. They've done things where they borrow a couple guys, like, past legends, whatever, they bring them in, they got a Crone Gracie in there or something, and you watch it and somehow it still doesn't translate. I don't know, you know, it's just it ends in too many draws. It just doesn't captivate. They've done a good job of kind of splicing in enough of the hot names, I guess. Like, even Marab is on this next card coming up. Yeah. You know, just guys where there's some intrigue. Even Dylan Danis and Colby Covington, it's just enough to like, okay, what are they going to do? And you see them in this different context. But to watch it reverse, like, because I didn't watch a ton of wrestling and I didn't wrestle growing up or anything. I don't know. Did you wrestle, Ben? I can't remember. You played football, but.
Yeah, no, they discouraged us from doing. I did a lot of like jujitsu and stuff, but never like high school wrestling.
But I never really. I remember watching the meets back in high school, but I never watched the NCAAs. I never really do that stuff. So it's kind of fun to be like, really into MMA for all this amount of time, and then to go back and try to see the technical side of wrestling on that level. I find it, like, from my station right now, I find this a lot of fun. So I've been tuning in based on that, but also based on, you know, Armon and that cat he was just going against, and they've got, like, you just don't know what's going to happen. There's these wild card elements that are going on, and it's been fun. I don't know how long it continues or if it can continue to grow, but right now it's been a good time for me.
It's surprising the extent to which it's captured a lot of the fan base too, because we see the numbers on it when we run stories on it. It's surprisingly popular, you know.
It was number one on Yahoo Sports over the weekend, right? Like the live vlog or whatever.
Well, and the last one, the one where Armin and Giorgio Poulos got into the brawl at the end of it, did huge numbers, and so it's like people are interested. And you're right, Chuck, that people have tried different versions of similar things like this, and it has never really gotten off the ground. This one does seem to be working. When I heard, though, okay, Armin's going to wrestle Uriah Faber, that's when I went, is he going to wrestle absolutely everybody? are all three of us at some point, are we going to have to wrestle Armin Sarukian at one of these RAF events?
Still lose.
Just the size difference. Would. I mean, I know, you know, I mean, that is one of the things that I think that you can do and you can play with if you're RAF, is that we're wrestling. We're not going out there and beating each other's skulls in. It doesn't seem quite as high risk if you take a match way out of your weight class or something, you bite off more than you can chew. You get ragdolled around the wrestling mats a little bit. It's not the end of the world. And so they can have a little bit of fun with that. But also when I heard like Uriah Faber, I was like, does Uriah think that's a good idea for him, man? Like, Armin's a lot bigger than you are, man. A lot bigger, a lot younger.
Yeah.
I know, you know, Uriah's a gamer. Uriah's a tough guy, athletic guy, was great in his prime. But I don't know, man. That's that seems like not the one
Uriah
I would.
Favors, isn't there? There's got to be like five of them. He's at like every UFC event. You know, they're always, hey, there's Uriah Faber in the crowd. You know, and he's competing all over the place. He's all over the place, man. He's got businesses, you know, like so much going on with that dude.
It's interesting, right? Because Armin is the guy that we would say was in the Bilal Muhammad position of his division. He's in the Leon Edwards position of his division. And suddenly he's gone.
Would you say the Movsar Evalev?
Oh, let's call it the Movsar position also.
The Movsar.
You're dead on there, Chuck. But
he needs a Raven.
He's a Raven, absolutely. That's another good point.
No, I'm sure Ben's actually got a better marketing idea for him, and we'll get to that in a minute.
Javelin right now off the top. Joel Kulak. Ben, just raise your hand when you've thought of the concept.
Okay, I got it. The Fire Eater. He comes out, he's holding like a little torch before he gets in the cage every time. Hum, beats the fire.
I love it. It's a
straight pro wrestling. I love it.
Just spitballing.
That would be brilliant.
He's kind of proven right to the UFC by going with this promotion and making it an interesting thing. They're like, oh, we kind of fucked up here. Yes, the guy is absolutely unhinged. And yes, we
that's a draw. Just like
that is a draw.
That's part of the appeal. That's part of why it's working. That's what's why you want him at an RAF event. It's not just because he's a good wrestler and he's going to do good wrestling. It's because maybe he'll do something crazy and stupid.
Exactly.
And that will be interesting. That will be fun to watch. But he has managed to sort of like exist outside of the way the UFC wants to structure this stuff where they're like, we decided you're not the guy. We're going to keep skipping over you. We're not into it. And he's just like, fine, I will go be a thing in other ways. Yeah. And it's worked. It's absolutely, like, if you just sat here and told me a year ago that we would be talking about Armin Sarukian this much or with this much enthusiasm and interest,
so
I would have said no way. But he's done it.
Or saying things like, you know, we shattered some crazy number, whatever it is, like on the site. Because Shaheen can't talk about this enough. He's like, dudes, drawing numbers, man. We're going to be looking at this stuff. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? Because it's not just that he's, you know, volatile and all that stuff, but he's actually proving to the UFC without like doing anything in the UFC that he's a draw. Like he's actually kind of going, you know, he's making the counter argument for himself without competing in the UFC. That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And look, you got to give the assist to Nina Drama as well. You know, Nina and Armin, who have become the Lennon and McCartney of MMA content creation.
Is that right?
It's all there.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah.
It's everywhere, dude. I can't go on the fucking internet without Nina Drama.
I can. It's I don't have any problems. It doesn't seem to come up for me. I got a different algorithm than you do.
It's just all the time. They're getting off a plane today. They were eating McDonald's on the bonnet of a Rolls Royce, I believe.
Hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting situation there.
Is that the one where he tried to get her into a fight or something? I saw something like one clip.
See, Chuck's algo's the same as mine, Ben. You're the one, right? You're out
of
the loop.
Clip.
Okay.
No. I'll tell you, I started following this astrophysicist guy and he's been blowing my mind with his videos. So
that's where me and
just
you,
a different algorithm.
He's got like ballet and opera and stuff like that now. With, his is educated. Ours is, you know, Nina, whatever.
Yeah.
Nina Drama, whatever you call her. Yeah.
It's right. This is the thing. You'd have told me like 2 months ago, Armin's on Ariel and he's saying like, I think I'm going to be back up for the White House event. I'm like, no, you're not. You are not. You're so far from being the backup fighter from the White House event. It's insane. And now he's saying it. I'm like, yeah, no, he's absolutely. Look, I wanted him to fight. I wanted him to fight for the title, but just the way the UFC felt about him, I never thought they'd put him in the spot. Suddenly now you're like, this guy's proved that he is one of the biggest, like one of the biggest figures in the sport right now. He's being followed, all these videos, his food videos, as I mentioned, the Nina Drama stuff. It's racking up huge numbers. I mean, they have to be seriously considering this right
now.
Dude,
let me ask you guys. If Gaethje fell out of that fight and suddenly Armin is in that fight.
I'd be so fucking happy too.
Well, I mean, but dude, I mean, that's a bigger fight though. I think publicly that's a bigger fight. Is it not? Am I crazy here?
I mean... For which audience, I guess, is the question.
Well, I'm just saying
that is true.
Broadly.
Okay.
I mean, just like broadly, like the UFC audience. Do you think it's a bigger, like, I know it extends further, but the types of eyes that they want to draw on the White House even, you know, exceeds anything that Justin Gaethje's name is going to do, right? It's just more about the White House. It's more about the event. But if you're talking about just strictly to UFC, right, the public that follows the UFC, I feel like that's the bigger fight anyway. There would be more excitement around that.
Yeah, I mean, it would be more excitement from the people within the combat sports space who know, who understand what that means, that Armin Sarukian and Ilya Topuria are going to fight. I think that for the general audience, it wouldn't really make much of a difference. I don't think that they know any of Ilya, Justin, or Armin.
Right.
And I think that as far as stylistically, if you're going to get the kind of fight that would appeal to the general audience, it's probably going to be Ilya and Justin, as brief as I expect that fight to be. I think that you probably get something that way more people look at it and go, oh, hell yeah, this cage fighting stuff is awesome. When is it on next? And but I think that's the goal of the UFC.
With Gaethje versus Topuria, are you going to get like a headbutt on the, you know, the weigh-ins? Are you going to get like a pre-fight brawl, well, you know?
That's the thing, though. If you're concerned about Armin, is like, we can't rely on this guy. He might do something unhinged. He doesn't seem able to control himself. Do you really want to put that guy in a situation like that on the White House where he might screw it all up? And not if you have any other option, you don't.
Well, who's the plan C then? Like, if like they got him in the wings, who's in the wings for Armin in case something happens with him?
Mm.
You don't know.
No.
All right.
Nina?
Maybe it's you, Pete.
I mean, for Trump's birthday, that might be a big one, you know?
Pete, here he is. Nobody knows, but I will get massacred. Like, it would be spectacular. Like, he
be a real pros versus Joes kind of situation.
He could kick my head right off my body. Like, and it would.
Did they do an MMA version of that?
It was called Bully Beatdown, Chuck.
Oh, right. Well, I know
Bully Beatdown. He's going to say it was called Bellator.
Bellator.
Come on. That is a good one. Bellator. That's going to come up later on. Don't worry about that. Bellator, you aren't safe. We have more things to talk about.
Stick to your outline.
Yeah, we'll stick to the outline. The other thing that Armin said, which I thought was very interesting, was, because I haven't heard a lot of people say this, you know, when you're kind of around Dublin and people are like, Petey, now that Nate Diaz is fighting for Netflix, who is McGregor going to fight? And I'm like, well, based on what Ariel seems to be saying and based on what everyone's saying, because Ariel probably said it first, is that Max Holloway is the guy. And they're like, oh, man, that's not going to go well for Conor. Then Armin comes on. He's like, no, I think that's going to go terribly for Max Holloway. I think he's going to get annihilated by Conor McGregor, who we haven't seen win in maybe 6.5 years. That's a wild take, right?
Like I have to say that I just like his he didn't sell me on his argument for it. Like he's talking about Max can't wrestle all these years into that. I'm like, okay, but I can tell you one guy who's not going to wrestle him.
Yeah.
It's going to be Conor McGregor. So I don't even know what, like, it was kind of off on a tangent there of something that is not even going to happen. Now, if you're truly saying that Max has lost a step in terms of what he does well, I'd probably dispute that. I mean, just look at the Dustin Poirier fight from not too long ago. What was it, last July? I mean, to me, no, I don't think that he's diminished in the way that Armin was presenting.
Yeah, I mean, I could see you come out of that Charles Oliveira fight and you go, okay, big hole in Max's game. Armin seemed to really lean into, like, since when does Charles have good takedowns, and he was stringing them together and making Max look clueless out there. But you're right, that's not going to be Conor McGregor's game. And if you're trying to picture a way Conor McGregor wins that fight, it has to happen in the first 3 minutes. That's it. Oh. Like, he's Conor McGregor, super dangerous for the first few minutes of the first round. After that, incredibly less so. And Max Holloway is the kind of guy where, you know, he's a tough guy, he's a resilient guy. And he shows up looking like he's ready to do 5 rounds of work every single time he's out there. Ready to do 5 rounds of busy work, too, where he's throwing a whole lot and just keeping you dealing with him. And that, especially since we haven't seen Conor McGregor look good in a long time and look like he's really still about this life, it's hard for me to imagine that he shows up out of nowhere after all this time and looks amazing against a guy who has been here this whole time doing it.
Well, I'll tell you, Ben, I don't know if you saw it, but there was a video of his hand speed hitting the bag, and
his hands were moving at a speed. I will say that.
Okay. All ben, right. We can admit that, then. We can agree on that.
Me and Chuck saw it, and it was
I saw this one.
Oh, okay.
I only saw it because you posted it.
hitting the heavy bag, and I was just like, yeah, I mean, that's a guy hitting the heavy bag, but that's not, like, if you walked into the gym and you saw that guy hitting the heavy bag, you wouldn't be like, holy shit, who is that? You know, you'd be like,
Soloway.
That's a guy, that's a competent person hitting the heavy bag, but it's not anything that's blowing your mind.
It would be strange if McGregor did kind of beat Holloway in a situation. And then you'd be like, well, he caught him at the bookends of his greatness, right? Like, he caught him way early in his career and then caught him at the tail end. That would be a very strange trajectory for McGregor's rivalry there.
Yeah, there's also, like, that when you think about McGregor, he's had a lot of bad injuries, like fight changing. Like, you know, it's obviously not fight ending. It's a career ending because he's coming back. It seems like he is going to come back. He is training. But it
alters how you fight when you've suffered a broken leg like that. We've seen it so many times. And there's also, like, you know, he's not exactly been, you know, going to Whole Foods.
Keeping his nose clean.
You know, we've seen him in some states that, you know, wouldn't remind you of an elite athlete. A lot of them. Like, I mean, weekends upon weekends of comments on X and all this wildness where you're like, well, that is not the talk of a guy who is drinking water all the time. You know, this is not a guy who is well hydrated.
What are you insinuating?
This is not a guy who's been eating salads. I mean, maybe he has, actually. He was always very into healthy eating, but
grass-fed beef. Isn't that what he said?
Steak on a stone! I don't know, man. I don't think it's going to go well. I don't.
I think that's the fight, though. I mean,
yeah.
That's going to be the fight.
And I will watch the shit out of that fight. I'm not trying to say I won't. I will be fucking glued to the TV for that shit.
Imagine if Conor did come out as a wrestler in that one. Takes him down.
Shoots a double-leg of me.
Oh.
Oh, man. It's actually just curious, like, because Ariel had heard that everything was going well. I had heard the same thing about 2 weeks ago from a well-placed individual. And you're kind of like, well, where is it? And I know they're probably keeping it in the back burner, but it's like, the importance of him signing, there's so much subtext to it now, given the fumble with Jones. Or maybe just that's their new plan, right? That's what Ronda Rousey is suggesting. Like, this is the way they are now. They don't want to give this much money up. But if they
who gives a shit is what Dana White said about it when asked about it. Who gives a shit?
That's a good point.
Which makes you think maybe the answer is not him.
Should we shut up and watch the fights?
That's the thing, though, man. This is me and Chad were talking about this on the co-main event this week, is when you tell us, why don't you guys shut up and watch the fights? Man, we'd like to. We'd really like to. But you got to get the fights made for us to shut up and watch them. And if you don't do your part, we can't do that part. And especially, it's wild to me to sit here and talk about, like, who gives a shit when you're going... When you're talking about John Jones, you're talking about the guy you keep saying is a top pound for pound fighter in the history
of this sport. As long as he's breathing, he is the best fighter on planet Earth. That's what he said. Direct quote.
And you were talking about, you know, whether or not you're going to get him on what you've said will be the biggest fight card of the year, a historic fight card at the White House. And to go from all that to who gives a shit. You have successfully convinced us to give a shit, man. Don't be like, who gives a shit now that you couldn't get the fight made? And it's the same thing with Conor. If you end up in a situation where you're just not willing to pay Conor McGregor enough and you can't get the fight made and you end up in another who gives a shit situation, you are gradually convincing us not to give a shit. And that is not in your best interest. That's the opposite of what you're supposed to be doing as a fight promoter, man. You are unpromoting these fights by saying all this, like, who gives a shit stuff.
Nobody smokes a cigar, though, afterwards better than Dana. Have you seen him, like, now he's posting every time, like, he's got a cigar post-fight? Oh, boy.
Ah, look, it's a good time. Look, last week's card was fucking great. I was sitting there, and I was like, I fucking love when this goes well. UFC, this was great. I'm texting everyone, like, are you watching this? This is exactly how I want to feel every weekend. I know you can't feel like this come on, all right? I was texting the Irish people who were still I was like, are you still watching this? They're like, yes, I am. I'm like, wow, look how far we've come. And of course, there was this magical moment. Alexa Grasso had this unbelievable, like, just what a perfect example of what MMA is. Those few seconds.
Yeah.
Just like, this cannot fucking happen in any other sport. Cracks her, leaps across her back, chokes her out. God love her. Macy Barber's on the ground and it looks horrendous. Like, for a minute, I'm going, this is good to go. Fucking terribly. Thank God Macy came out later and she said, look, all good. Apart from the fact that this happened and knocked her back in her career a bit. But Alexa Grasso, who was a massive underdog in this fight, like a really, really considerable underdog, just has this complete video game moment. And I just keep on thinking about it. Like, I'm just sitting there going, holy fuck. Like, what? That is insane. It's kind of like how I felt when I saw Mighty Mouse do that Mighty Whiz Bar. Why did he call it that? It's just like, what a beautiful example of what this fucking crazy sport is. You know, am I going too far here? I'll stop.
No, you're. I was thinking about it. Somebody pointed out to me where they were like, look at what a good job Mike Beltran did as referee with that moment. Because that's a tricky thing to deal with, you knock her out, essentially get her to fall into a rear naked choke. It all happens, bang, 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 so fast. Mike Beltran sees it for what it is, gets in there. And Macy Barber, when it is initially stopped, she's physically on autopilot there for a few more seconds. And she goes and like rolls for a single leg to him, which... That right there should tell you something about the level of training and just the muscle memory drilled into these people, because neurologically, whatever is happening there has got to be fascinating, because she is out. She's still, her body's still like, trouble, go for the single leg, and she reaches for it. And then Mike Beltran, in handling it there, he taps her, you know, like being like, hey, if your body's still on autopilot, maybe it'll respond to the tap. Because that is another thing that has been programmed into you. And she does. And then she sort of, it's like her body remembers, oh yeah, you've been knocked out. And she goes right back into that state, and he kind of catches her and cradles her head to help her, you know, not damage herself anymore. And it all happened just like that. And it made me think of when I was at that combat sports official summit, and John McCarthy, Mike Beltran was there, and John McCarthy was making the point that especially when it comes to MMA, there's so much different stuff that can happen in a fight. No matter how many fights you've worked, no matter how much you think you've seen, you haven't seen it all. There's always something new that can happen in these fights. I think he saw it there.
Part of it was like, with that particular fight, was just how unexpected it was. Because there are fights where you're like, okay, there's the potential of something crazy happening is in this one, right? Like there are certain guy, like McKinney, for instance, like he's on fire. All right, something crazy. Let's check this out. Alexa Grasso gave us no indication that was even remotely in her arsenal. And so like, it was just the shock of the, you know, the shot itself, that left hand landing flush. And then within a split second, the instinct to just latch that neck, like something out of like, you know, Mutual of Omaha, like Animal Kingdom or something. It was like, it was crazy. And then to get that kind of thing, that's, you're right, there's something that it taps back into when you've watched a lot of MMA that you're like, oh my god, okay, now this was like, this reminds me of some time when I first kind of fell in love with this sport, when I was really first getting into it. There's something about that you're like, the potential of that, right? Like the potential and just the vulnerability, you know, of going into to go in there and fight like that, all of that came into play. What I loved about it in the end, and I think Ariel might have talked about this too, was the UFC generally doesn't let the camera hover like it did on Macy Barber. And that was like this really wild piece of theater, because she's just staring dead-eyed off into the distance and laying there. And we must have been on that shot, you know, 5-6 seconds, 8 seconds. It was like it went on forever. That was wild. Like usually they're showing you straight up at that point the victor, and they're trying to keep you away from what, you know, the vanquish. Yeah. They don't really want you to see the aftermath of that. But they hovered on it, and that somehow was very poignant.
Yeah, usually they're very intentional about trying to avoid that. Yeah. And I think, but yeah, this is one where, and I don't think necessarily they need to be. I think, I wonder sometimes if that's a holdover from an earlier era where we were always concerned, hey, something bad's going to happen to somebody. It's going to break containment out of the combat sports bubble to a bunch of people who aren't used to it. And it's going to be a bad look for the sport. Maybe we're over that, because it is, I mean, if you're somebody who loves combat sports, there's a part of you that has to love the heartbreak of it, that has to love the thrill and agony, you know, in equal measure on both sides. And so showing us that, I think, you know, makes it feel like more vulnerable, more human. And that is part of what we're there to watch, whether we want to admit that to ourselves or not.
It adds to the magnitude, too, of just like what Grasso did. Like, this is the condition she left somebody in, you know, and she's sitting there kind of like, in a prayer, like, I mean, it was just like, it was like, what was the Sakuraba and Jason Mayhem Miller, I think Esther Lynn took the photo where he's kind of vanquished and he's just kind of praying over. I mean, it was kind of like that. But sometimes those pictures, if you just see a still of it, you're like, wow, man, it kind of tells you everything you need to know without even seeing it.
Yeah. It's interesting that we have a new Khabib Nurmagomedov talking about women competing in mixed martial arts days after this unbelievable moment happens, right? Like, we're talking about this, like, the visceral feeling we have watching this. Like, this is as pure as martial arts get in those moments. And Khabib's come out and he's asked a question at a press conference. I believe the lady who asked him the question was like a real estate agent. I believe it was some type of real estate press conference he's at, maybe. And he kind of speaks about, like, do you want to get punched in the face? This lady starts talking about, like, I can't abide women getting punched in the face. I don't want to see it. Like, you know, whether it's a man punching a woman or a woman punching a woman, like, this shouldn't be the case. And look, it's a controversial flashpoint once again, but I couldn't help but notice how profound it was that it came on this week after that amazing moment, right? That suddenly, like, this is out there again.
In fairness, like Casey O'Neill, I mean,
right? Like, she had a big knockout too. That's crazy.
Like, Habib, like, we've learned a little bit that he holds different social views than maybe a lot of us do. And Habib doesn't want to see a woman being a judge or a lawyer or a doctor either, probably. So, like, that maybe we don't need to be asking him his thoughts on this kind of stuff. I remember when he was all up in arms about what he deemed an overly erotic play that was being performed somewhere in Dagestan. He didn't go see that play. He was still mad about it. So maybe we should put his thoughts on that in the same category as his thoughts on, like, women and MMA. Like, just like, we don't need to hear from him about it. You don't need to have an opinion on everything.
Play?
He was tight in the mare, though.
It was
hair. I remember this.
It was hair, Chuck.
Hair. Just okay.
Go check it out. No, it wasn't. It was not.
But I mean, it's a good point to have. Like, I mean, obviously, he's from a different culture than us. He has a different code of ethics than us. Like, should we be, like, getting up in arms about this at this point, Chuck? Like, or is this just the case that he's one of the great fighters, and every time he says something like this, there's going to be a big reaction?
It's fine for everybody to have their point of view on it. Like, why anybody would have to take it seriously or adopt that point of view doesn't make any sense. If you remember, Dana White basically had this exact point of view early on. He was like, I just have no interest in watching women fight each other for those reasons. And there were other people that were, obviously there's an echo chamber that surrounds Dana, but, like, obviously that all changes when Ronda Rousey comes and comes around, then he makes all this money. Now, obviously, a guy like Habib, we put him on a pedestal in terms of his fighting career, but I don't think I ever really put too much stock, you know, into his opinions on these sort of things. So I would advise anybody who, you know, to come up with their own opinions based on what they watch and not on what Habib says.
This just reminds me of you and Chad's conversation on the co-main event a few years back, Ben, when you was like, if you really want to like a fighter, learn nothing about them.
Yeah.
Just turn on the fight. When he's fighting, don't follow him on Instagram. Don't follow any of his social media. Just show up when the guy is fighting.
Yeah. That's the way to do it. That's if you want to be a fan, you want to just enjoy it and stay a fan, learn as little as possible.
You have a dude on this card, this Apex card coming up, that's exactly like that, the Ewing kid, right? Like, he shows up, nobody knows anything about him, in that big spot at Madison Square Garden, and he shines, right? And then you're like, oh my God, who is this guy? It was a perfect example of what you're talking about. Like, everybody fell in love with him at once because nobody knew anything about him.
You know, that's a big part of the Fedor mystique, I felt. True. Was that Fedor was sort of like a black box that, like, we loved the fight. You know, obviously, he was a brilliant fighter and seemed like he was a generation ahead of the heavyweights he was facing a lot of times. I went back and I was watching clips. Somebody posted, here's what's on my algorithm, his old pride fights and stuff. Somebody was posting clips of Fedor and Mirko Krokop, and I was like, shit, this is better than half the heavyweight MMA you see on a general UFC event at any time. And it was 15, 20 years ago. And still, it was like, even when you try to interview Fedor, you felt like, I'm looking into the eyes of a Yeti. Yeah. I'm not getting anything back. Yes. I'm just, it remains so mysterious that then he can kind of become anything you want him to be, anything you need him to be, because you feel like you're learning absolutely nothing, even from talking to him. There's something if you say, I mean, that if you can't have a raven on your shoulder and you can't eat the fire, remain mysterious. Just shut up and just let us imagine who you might be.
And the times when you talk to him, like, he never raised his voice. It was always like, he'd give such a monotone, like, he'd be interpreting, like, through his, like, his guy there, like, or his priests. You remember he was traveling with his two priests for a while there?
That'll lend to your air of mystery. Have a mystical priest follow you around in the back.
Fedor knew. He's like, you know what my shtick's going to be? I'm going to travel with a couple of priests. This is
I got a dude who looks like Rasputin following me around.
That's exactly what that guy looked like.
it's so funny you say that, like, because I'm thinking about, like, my early fandom. Like, what did I know about Fedor? Nothing. Like, what was the like, obviously you knew about how he fought. What did I know about Krokop? He comes out to Wild Boys by Duran Duran and is a vicious, murderous striker. Like, it just made no sense. And you're like, that's got to mean something, right? He comes out to Duran Duran.
Left foot.
Yeah. Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Left foot hospital, right foot cemetery.
One of the great quotes.
What a fucking time. Yeah. We don't have any of them boys anymore. Not many
social
of them.
Social media, well, man.
Just Ewing, you said, obviously, right? So he's going to fight this weekend. But lads, before we get to this weekend, saw a clip there yesterday. I'm on my holiday. I'm enjoying myself, you know? And I see Ariel speaking to Johnny Eblen, who had a fantastic win at the weekend. Absolutely destroyed Brian Battle. Beat. Like, just absolutely unbelievable. Like, had him flying through the air on five times. Like, in the first 2 minutes. I think he took him down 8 times before he submitted him. It was fucking insane. So,
did that answer your question about Battle, by the way? Like you're saying, are we sleeping on Battle a little bit? He's 7-1 in the UFC.
I mean, I wasn't going to say I told you so, but somebody sat here in this chair and said, I think this is a bad style matchup for him.
Yeah.
I did pick him in the Parlay Pals draw as well. Eblen, I was like,
okay. I was like, oh my God, you did not pick Battle. All right.
I didn't. All right. But he's having this conversation with Ariel, and I'm like, they're talking about the rebound. Okay, let's just listen to what they're saying here. And then Ariel says, one of the options, and I'm not bullshitting you boys, and I'm sure you saw this. As I said, I've been taken away from the game a little bit here. One of the options is to go back to Bellator? And Eblen's like, yeah, great idea. I think this is the craziest idea. Like, all right, I get to some extent, right? Bellator had some brand recognition. But surely, at this stage, we go in a new direction here. Any other direction, if you're going to rebrand, not go back to Bellator. Chuck, how do you feel about it?
Well,
Bellator.
You know, like, okay, so back in the day when Affliction did their show, there was always like this Pride Never Die. This is only like a year later, and the Pride Never Die thing was like a big deal. And you're like, because everybody loved Pride, right? It was like this other thing. Have you ever seen a Bellator Never Die t-shirt? Like, have you seen anything like that? The bottom line is, I'm like, if you're doing it, you're doing it strictly for brand recognition, but it's not like Bellator had a better reputation than the PFL, in my mind. I mean, I know it had like a more longevity, but it had a lot of different iterations, and a lot of what you remember about Bellator was the Bjorn Rebney era. You remember the tournaments, you know, you remember Scott Coker coming in and, I don't know. I mean, just kind of like running it, but like, did it ever really gain traction? I think that you guys tell me. I mean, I think I would want to etch a sketch and build something that if they've got a new vision, build it within that new vision and let people either fall in love with it or hate it. But don't put something that has like, and I'm not saying Bellator has this for everybody, but like almost a negative connotation to it. You know what I mean? Like, to me, that's what this would do.
Or, yeah, it either has a negative connotation or zero connotation, especially because it's like you had Bellator, you killed it off, and now you're resurrecting Bellator. Like, that would make no sense to me. I remember when Bellator had a video game out, and I saw a video of two guys.
Is this real?
Yeah, it was real. I saw a video of like two guys doing the thing where they're playing the Bellator video game, and they were clearly not fight fans. I think they had each picked a different Pitbull brother to fight as each other, and they were just making jokes about the name. There was like Bellator, like it sounds like a medication you'd get for restless leg syndrome. Like, ask your doctor
about Bellator, right?
Yeah.
For you.
And so it's like that. Like, you come back with that. I don't know. It's that seems to me like what you would do if you just were lazy and didn't want to come up with a new idea, is you just resurrect that one. And it also, every time I hear about the idea of a PFL rebrand, especially one that changes the name, I'm just like, you already did this, man. It was World Series of Fighting that became PFL.
World Series of Fighting.
That was unwieldy. The name was unwieldy. PFL, I think, is fine. I think if you're trying to change the perception in people's minds, and you think changing the name while also like sort of changing the format and the approach is going to be what does that, I don't know if that's going to work. I think that the only people who will even like realize that are the people whom the name PFL is already working on. Yeah. Like, we already know what the PFL is. They kind of know who's in the PFL. That just makes no sense to me. And it also just seems to me like you're looking for an easy fix. You're looking to wipe the slate clean, and you're being like, we're not HBO anymore. We're HBO Max. Like, you're looking for something like that. And it's just, that's not going to be the thing that fixes your problem.
I got an idea for one. You guys tell me if you like this one, right? Proud.
I see what you did. I see what you did.
Proud FC. Man.
Come on. That's...
I was thinking, when you brought up Affliction, I was like, shit, Affliction would be a better name to resurrect than Bellator.
Right. I'm writing this down because I know, Ben. Ben, you've got, like, come on. You're the Raven guy, you know?
Yes.
Proud FC, right? I don't mind that. I'm not going to lie to you. But if it's going to make me react like this, I mean, I don't know if it's going to work, but...
Proud.
Ben, what have you got for PFL?
Let's do some, let's keep the FL and let's change the P. Let's see if we can find any word that starts with N, and let's just see if we can create enough brand confusion that we just, people are like, oh, there's NFL on tonight. And like through a gradual trickery, we will gain audience share.
I mean, it's a thought.
Either that or we just go straight Leonard Skinnert. We call the fight promotion Leonard Skinnert. It's a name that has worked for a long time. We can even like, you can mess with the spelling and just spell it like traditionally this time. And people will be like, Leonard Skinnert's on tonight?
It's like the bare naked ladies, whatever, and put it on the billboard. Who are the bare naked ladies? I mean, that's going to draw on a certain kind of person, you know?
People give it a chance.
Yeah.
All right. It's look, NFL and Proud FC are both great names. I've got something that will cater to like the Instagram, TikTok generation.
Okay.
Knockout World. That's what the name of the promotion is. So you say to me,
it's an elderly home. It's like a place you send the elderly. It's like, and that's kind of, I guess that fits a motif, a Bellator motif a little bit.
Somebody going to come out here and win the Knockout World Championship via split decision after like takedowns and top control.
Hear me out. Listen to the difference of this. Listen to the difference. I'm going to use a fight from a couple of weeks ago as an example. Oh, are you watching the fight this weekend? Oh, no. Who's fighting? Oh, Koslov and Steenis is fighting Fabian Edwards on the PFL. Oh, I didn't know that was happening. Here's the other one. Are you watching the fights this weekend? Who's fighting? Koslov and Steenis is fighting Fabian Edwards in Knockout World.
I mean, that sounds pretty fun. That's not bad. What about like just one of those old Batman from the 60s, you know, like the little bam or like pow or kaboom?
Ow.
What about something like that?
there's just so little faith in the audience being shown here. Where you're just like...
We're just spitballing. We're spitballing right now.
Well, and if we're thinking about it in Pete's terms, why don't we just call it outer space? Because then people would be like, hey, you hear these guys? Space. These two guys are fighting in outer space. You tell me you don't want to see that? You tell me you're not going to tune in just to see?
Hey, you've done it. That's the one. It's Outer Space FC. That's what it's called. That's the problem with this. When they're talking about it, like I'm like, fuck, you can't do Bellator. But then like I sit there going, what would I call it? And I'm like, no real good options. I don't have anything. I don't even want the FC. Boom. Any of those maybe would do better. Well, fucking hell. I don't know. It's not a promising sign, though, right? That they had this meeting and they were like, Roy, what do you think? And they have all these people sitting around. And then the takeaway is like, let's really have a think about going back to Bellator here, guys. Let's really have a serious conversation about this. That does not fill me with confidence in general.
No, that's not a good sign.
Yeah.
Well, we'll wait to see.
Don's old baby.
Get Don back in. Don might have some things. You know, he might have something up his sleeve.
Don't worry. He'll write a LinkedIn post about it if he does. You'll see it.
It's a bit of a weekend this weekend. We have an Apex event. I know that doesn't exactly get the blood flowing in the same way as this last week's Seattle event.
Ooh, you look at the lineup on this. Boy, this is one of the most Apex events that has ever apexed.
Yeah. And I was at LAD. Remember the Dumont LAD? I was there, and this is right there with us. It was neck and neck with LAD Dumont.
Well, and you headlined by Renato Moicano, a guy who famously remarked, nobody likes the Apex, brother. Now here he is in the main event of the Apex.
It's the money. What do they call him?
Money Moicano.
Money Moicano. That's not.
He also said, fighters, let's stop complaining about not getting enough money. You know, not to take it, imagine from.
When he was the one, right? He was like the one guy who turned down the lawsuit payout.
Where that
right? went?
Where'd that check go?
Just got spread out among all the other fighters who were like, yes, please. My mama didn't raise no fool. You want to put some money in my hand? Here it is.
Ugh.
Yeah. How shitty would you feel about that? Like, he would have been on for a good bit of, like I know people who got money, like a significant amount of money, even like if it's not at someone of Moicano status. And then it's just like, oh, what happened to it? No, you just gave like Neil Siri and Carl Pendra an extra few thousand. He's like, oh, well, that wasn't the stand I wanted to make, you know, Jesus Christ.
I mean, the money's got to go out somewhere. Might as well take it, you know?
It's crazy. It's also...
I mean, I'm sympathetic to the UFC as well. I do think that they deserve the lion's share of all the money, but like, still,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, everyone believes that, Chuck. I mean, she's fine. But the problem with this main event is like, I know, it's Chris Duncan, man. Have you seen this guy fight? He's fucking incredible.
Yeah.
Like, he's an absolute dog. And he's fighting Moicano at a stage in his career where you're kind of like, you know, it's not the fight you want to be putting Moicano in against this
right.
guy who could have been a shepherd. You know
but
I mean?
Is this, I mean, this that's what this is, right? It's the showcase moment for Duncan here. Like, isn't that what this, I feel like that's what's going on. They're like, ah, Moicano's kind of ran his, he's had his moment. Now we're going with this guy.
Yeah. I'm kind of feeling the Eblen Babel kind of situation here, you know?
You think Chris Duncan has the face of a shepherd? Is that what you said earlier, PC?
Well, I just mean he has the grimace of a man who spends a lot of time by himself on the hills. You know what I mean? He has that kind of demeanor to him, I feel.
I feel like you got more of a shepherd look about you.
Maybe a shepherd's pie.
What a fuck. I love shepherd's pie. I fucking love it. I don't know what to take as a compliment.
No, they're delicious. I love them.
Oh, man. Yeah, it's not. It's hard to get excited for this one. Yeah, fuck. Chandy Roba, Ricci is on there, and yeah, Ewing,
Ewing
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that kind of like, you know, seeing his follow-up fight, I guess there's some intrigue to that. The dude he's fighting too is like hit kept missing weight, right? So he's fighting at bantamweight this time. So I don't know if that intrigues you at all.
No, I'm sold now. That's changed everything.
Yeah. Knockout World tonight on Knockout World.
If it was Knockout World, I'd be more interested. There is World at Chisora this weekend. I'm going to watch the shit out of that. It's like two guys probably shouldn't be fighting anymore, but accepting that they're fighting each other. You know, I'm like, I'm completely fine with it. As long as you're doing it together, boys, go out
this
there.
This is Chisora's last fight? Is it declared? Or?
So. Yeah, okay. I think so. Yeah. He's been saying it. His nephew's on the undercard too. Heavyweight boxing, baby. You can't beat it. You know what I mean? Unless, you know, it keeps going. And then it's...
Yeah.
Chisora is the kind of guy, going. Though. The longer he stays in the fight, the more excited he usually gets. It's like you watch the first few rounds, you're like, oh, this is not going to go well. Then he just doesn't go away. And then against someone like Wilder.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, man. Like the Wilder, like, so I just assumed Wilder was, because I, some of his losses obviously have been like the big thing. I didn't even know he had this fight in Wichita, Kansas that happened like last year. I had no idea that even went on. Did you, like, he fought some, you know, kind of relative no name.
Oh, I see it now.
And picked up a victory. I had no idea that even happened.
Listen, it's a weekend of fighting, guys.
Yeah.
I don't know what to tell you. You know, it's going to be on.
It's not going to be like last weekend's card, you know, with Itama and all that.
There was a lot of great shit happening last weekend. So, you know, it's in all regards is a little bit of a letdown.
This is the universe correcting itself. It's like, okay, hold on a minute. Let's give him this one.
But you know what? If I can turn on DAZN on a Saturday afternoon since they're fighting in London.
Yeah.
And since I also just can't figure out how to unsubscribe from DAZN. and I'll
make
just
it difficult.
And just to be like, hey, what is Deontay Wilder going to do for a walkout? I'm interested to see that. Like, that's enough right there. You already got me in the door for that one.
Use it as an excuse later, you know. Obviously, my costume was too elaborate, and therefore I could not fight. This is the general banter section.
That's right. I forgot about that. Like that 40-pound costumer.
It is, frankly, a joke that you think you can separate general banter on this show off into a certain section. General banter is the show's identity, damn it. Yeah.
We're in the general banter section.
If they would just start taping at 12:55 Eastern, you would catch the general banter at its absolute height. I mean, whatever PT talks about is usually that it's always 50 times more compelling than whatever we start off with on the show.
Well, let's let's talk about, why am I picking up a lighter? Let's talk about this. I haven't gone swimming in a long time. Elaine, fish. Okay. And we're in this hotel and Elaine's like, come swim with me. And I'm like, yeah, I can swim. And, you know, we go and we swim and she swims a lot and I swim a little bit and I'm like pissing and moaning. Every time she comes back after one of the lengths, I'm like, can we go now? Can we go now? That's loads. You did lots of swimming. And eventually she says, yeah, okay. So we leave. And then this is a thing that I forgot about swimming, but it's actually in every gym in the world. I go to my locker and there's just three elderly men sitting around in a circle, basically just like perfectly around my locker, completely naked. Like balls are on the bench. Like, and they're just sitting there and they just watch me getting changed. And it's like, why is this every time you walk into a locker room? And I said to Chuck and I said to Ben, and we all unanimously agree, they're not the same three men, I should say. Like, there's three dudes in Missoula, there's three dudes in Danbury, Connecticut, but there is always a few.
Sometimes as many as five, pizza. Yeah.
What is going on with these guys and their old models?
I think you just get run out of pucks to give at some point.
You must get to an age where that just sounds like a great idea.
Yeah.
It just, we're not there yet, so we don't understand it, but you must, I think there's a lot of things that I do now that sound like a good time to me now that would have baffled 20-year-old me. And so I have to assume it's going to be the same with this. I dread that day, but,
but you know it does seem consistent
enough across, we're talking about it across national borders. Across oceans, it's still happening. So maybe the lesson here, Pete, for you to take away is that community comes in many forms. You find it where and how you can.
You come into this world in your birthday suit, Pete, and apparently that's how you want to kind of wrap things up as well.
Leave
you know,
spots and shit. You know what I mean? I don't need to see it. I have to go and eat my lunch after this. And it's also like, but you know what is funny? Like, from that point of view, as you guys are saying, you know, like, it is funny if you think about they're just three friends and they see me getting out of the pool and like, we going to freak this guy out? Let's get completely naked and sit around his locker.
Yeah.
And then they're all just like a stony face. And then I leave and they're like, oh my God, he was freaking out. This guy was freaking out. Oh, get changed
I'd
so
like
quickly.
To
I don't want the old man to see my balls. Like, they are like, this is hilarious. This is actually the funniest. That is pretty funny. Like, if they're all in on it and they strategically sat there to make me feel uncomfortable, that's fucking hilarious, actually. It's changed my perspective on it already.
You are going to get the general banter section banned. You're going to get it banned from this show. It's
but
gonna...
balls are natural, you know? Everyone's got balls. Well, not everyone. You know, fuck. I don't know what to say. Jesus Christ.
Oh.
Yeah. So you got any bantering to do here? Or...
just bantered. You know, I was thinking about, you called it a fillet, you know, and I think that maybe that's how they come up with it. It was like, we got a Friday slot. What do we do? Oh, why don't we have PC fillet? What do you think about that? Anyway, that's general banter. I was just trying to...
We've had the general banter section.
Yeah.
Andy, do we have any super chats?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, here we go.
Timing is impeccable.
Pete, thank you for cheering against us. I did cheer against you. We needed that motivation. Bosnia is going to the World Cup. Congratulations, Bosnia. This gentleman was on to us last week. I said I always support Italy because my best friend, Daniel Sansovini, know him since he's a child, know his family so well, love them very much. Did you see? Let me just explain to you what happened here. Italy had to play a playoff game. They knew that. But there was a game that happened between Bosnia and Wales where the winner of that game would have to play Italy in this kind of playoff game to see who goes to the World Cup. They have the Italian players watching the game and they cheer when Bosnia win because they're like, we're going to fuck these guys up. We are going to smash Bosnia. And then Bosnia smash them. Knocked them out of the World Cup. One of the greatest teams in football history. I mean, what a celebration that must be in Bosnia, by the way. It's a bad look for Italy. Czech Republic, the people who knocked us out, also going through on penalties, beat Denmark, much better team, you'd have to say. Had better penalty takers, I thought. Beat them on penalties. Unbelievable day of football, even though Ireland are, once again, not going to a major tournament.
That was it.
Okay.
Ben, are the Kraken going to make the playoffs? I haven't really looked at the standings there.
Well, I don't know if you've paid attention to what's going on in the Pacific Division of the NHL, but seemingly no one there wants to go to the playoffs.
I did. I have.
They are all
that.
They are in a contest with each other to try to see who can be on the golf course first. Because in the East, you got a bunch of teams who would all be playoff teams if they were in the Pacific Division. And in the Pacific, you have a whole bunch of people being like, yeah, you take it. Nah, you take it.
I
think is the most fascinating thing, if we're going to talk hockey for a minute before we get out of here, is the Las Vegas Golden Knights replacing their coach with like five games left in the season and replacing with John Tortorella. Not exactly a player's dream. To go in the locker room at the end of a long season. Just kind of known as being a little abrasive as a coach. Not the guy that the players are like, here's a guy who understands our struggle and will treat us as fellow professionals and equals. No, he's not that guy. And imagine at the end of an already incredibly long professional hockey season where you're just like, it's winding down, man, one way or another. And then they're like, you got to go in the locker room today. And John Tortorella is going to be sitting there waiting to belittle you. And you're just like, God damn it, man. I thought we were just about done here. It's incredible.
In the Premier League, they would call on a guy like that, like to just bully them into winning. Like that would be the kind of last resort. So it's interesting how the different sports. When are the playoffs starting?
Pretty soon. Pretty
soon. The way the NHL likes to do it is we play a season that lasts somehow for 13 months, and then we start the playoffs and they last another 6 months. This is one of the things. I understand every sports league is moving this way because we want to make as much money as we possibly can, so the seasons just get longer, the playoffs just get longer. But we should not be playing professional hockey in June, man. It's bright outside. People don't want to be playing ice sports. They don't want to be watching ice sports. It's a winter sport. You gotta wrap that shit up by the end of May. It baffles. Every year I end up watching the Stanley Cup Finals in short sleeves, and it's hot outside, and I'm just like, this feels wrong. It just feels like it's against nature. We don't need to be doing it.
For you wondering, Pete, they do. They do have 1 month that he can wear shorts out there in Montana, right? Like, that's unusually.
Well, that's better. That's one more month than I can have, I promise. But so, hang on. The ice hockey and basketball playoffs happen in tandem.
Yes, pretty much. Yeah.
Fuck.
And speaking of that, the Denver Nuggets last year did the exact same thing. It was like three games left. They fire their GM and their coach, go into the playoffs. I mean, this must be the new trend. Right at the end. All right, let's bring in the heavy and like let's see what he can do. Although the Nuggets brought in a guy who was, they got rid of the bully, I think, in that sense. They got rid of the strong arm.
Are you in?
I will say normally you guys are used to me talking about how much I hate and I'm disinterested by basketball, but this year, now that I'm in a position to win the March Madness bracket that I'm in, if Michigan wins out, I got it pretty much at this point. My stance on it has radically changed. Invested.
March Madness is not over. March Madness isn't over. When is the final?
We play the Final Four, I think, April 4th. And then I think April 6th maybe is the championship.
Yep.
Well, look, that's how I'm going to enjoy spring break, boys. That's how I'm going to do it. I'm going to have to get ready. GC's coming over here in 4 days. Try to text them like, meet me here. This is where I'll get you. Nothing. Doesn't write back. I'm like, this is going to be interesting. You know what I mean? This is going to be zero communication. Somehow Pete's got to save the day. I'll do it. I'll fucking do it every time. It's me. I own this fucking town. Anyway.
What I appreciate is that when you fly into the Dublin airport and you go to the baggage claim to get your stuff, they got a big sign on the baggage claim that's like, hey, idiots, we drive on the other side over here. Don't forget.
Probably smart for them to do that.
It is. You got to wonder how much shit had to happen before they're like, we need to sign up at baggage claim. It's not enough for there to be a sign at the rental car place. It's not enough for the rental car people to tell you. We needed more signs to tell people we drive on the left side over here because something's got a gift.
I think that's more because Irish people just keep on going to America and just driving straight into oncoming traffic. And they're like, shit, if we keep doing this, we need to explain to people, not a good idea. Anyway, boys, we're not going to be back until, we're doing the post show on April 11th, so the crack won't be back until whatever that is after that, okay? So enjoy yourselves. I'm going to miss you very much.
It's like midway through April, right? Like, it'd be like...
It's fucking crazy. It's absolutely insane.
Who knows? Maybe there'll be some breaking news. Maybe
the life of Riley over there, Ben. You see this while we're working. These guys are
there'll
vacationing.
There'll be so much general bantering to do when we come back.
Yeah.
I work on both but the two arms, the uncrowned arm and the Ari Luwani show arm, so I'm not getting fucking holidays. You know what I mean? I'm just helping GC when he comes over here, Shaheen, okay? So don't...
Enjoy Cabo, buddy. All right?
We're going to get out of here. We love you very much. We'll see you soon. I don't know when. Don't know the date. But soon. Love you. Bye-bye.